This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Arizona Congressman John Shattuck, a Republican representing the Grand Canyon State's 3rd Congressional District. He's also a member of the Energy and Commerce Committee in the House of Representatives, which is one of several committees with jurisdiction on health care legislation. We want to get his insight as the Senate remains deadlocked as Democratic leaders there try to get those magical 60 votes to move the process towards a final vote and closer to a final bill on health care legislation. And Congressman, thanks so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Glad to be with you.
Well, as best as you can understand it right now, is it the case that we're basically waiting on Ben Nelson, or do you think that there are some other Democrats who are still not clear on how they're likely to vote here?
Well, as near as we can tell, it is principally Ben Nelson. There may, in fact, be other senators who are very quietly still agonizing over this decision. The senator from Virginia, I believe, one of them is still up in the air and might wind up going the right direction. But that is iffy. The principal focus across the nation appears at the moment, Greg, to be on Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska. He has stood courageously so far. He has said no. He has said no both on the contents of the bill other than what it would do to fund abortion, but he has also said no, that he is opposed to the bill because it will provide government-funded abortion, and the language in it is unacceptable to him. So right now, I think the focus is Senator Ben Nelson, and he's standing strong.
In terms of the legislation as we know it, it's been changed, obviously, to accommodate Senator Lieberman's opposition to the public option and to the buy-in to Medicare. And at this point, we don't know what exactly the bill looks like. When will we know?
Great question. As a matter of fact, some of my friends in the Senate, Tom Coburn, Jim DeMint, and others, are offended by that very point. We do not know what is in what's called this manager's amendment. And as you know, Senator Tom Coburn day before yesterday, forced the Senate to read Bernie Sanders' amendment for a single-payer bill. And as a result of that courageous act, ultimately, Senator Sanders withdrew the amendment. Senator Jim DeMint, I believe, has made it known or at least hinted that when the manager's amendment finally appears, which is when we will know what is actually in the bill, he, Senator DeMint, is, I think, considering and hopefully going to demand that it be read for the nation. That's when we'll actually know what's in the bill, and tragically, that could come very close to the final vote. We can rest assured that whatever the detail is, it is not going to be patient choice, and it is not going to include essentially the STUPAC language.
Congressman, talk a little bit more about that, because so much of this health care debate, and it has covered a lot of different parts of this debate, but so much has centered on the public option that when it's removed, there may be some who haven't followed the other details as closely who think, well, that was the big sticking point, so maybe this bill is okay if it's not in there. Talk a little bit more about why you still think it's unacceptable.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think in many ways the public option has been a red herring all along, or what they actually call in the legislative parlance, a hairy arm. That's a term referred to something put into a bill by its proponents, which will be found extremely objectionable by its opponents. And then when the proponents, quote-unquote, give in and say, okay, we'll take out the hairy arm, you still have a terrible bill. And it's a strategy. I actually think the public option, to a certain degree, has been a hairy arm or a red herring. It would be obviously bad for the government to create an insurance plan that competes with the private sector, because ultimately that will drive the private sector out of business. But if you do not want the government deciding what care you can get, what care you can't get, what care you can get at a given age in your life, young people get some care, older people don't, like happens in other countries with government-run health care, then this bill is terrible even without a public plan. And my favorite story on that point actually comes from my Thanksgiving dinner. My brother and sister-in-law both came over to our house for Thanksgiving. We're sitting at the Thanksgiving dinner table chatting, and my sister-in-law says, well, they're going to do this, this, and this in the public plan, and she describes things she finds distasteful. And I said, no, wait a minute. trust me, this bill regulates the private insurance industry to such a degree. It says what they can cover, what they can't cover, what they can charge, what they can't charge. It sets the ratio between what they can charge the youngest person in the plan versus what they can charge the oldest person in the plan. And it creates this vast new government bureaucracy to set forth literally an unlimited number of additional mandates and dictates on the private insurance industry. You take out the public plan, and this is still a massive government takeover of healthcare. It will be the federal government's bureaucracy, and the United States Congress deciding what healthcare people get through even their private insurance plans for the rest of history. You turn healthcare over to politicians, you'll get political healthcare, and you will not get patient-driven healthcare or healthcare that's based on you and the decisions you and your doctor make.
President Obama said point blank this week, if we don't pass a healthcare bill soon, we're going to go bankrupt paying for rising health care costs. I know Republicans have said that this bill will put us over the top when it comes to red ink. So how do Americans decide who's telling the truth here?
Well, it's pretty easy to decide who's telling the truth. Virtually every government entity that has reviewed this bill has acknowledged that it will not rein in the cost of health care. Whether you look at CBO or whether you look at CMS, CBO is the Congressional Budget Office. CMS is the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services. Both of those agencies, plus independent reviews, for example, by the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, every single one of them says this bill will not hold down healthcare costs in general, will not hold down healthcare premiums, and will not reduce or allow us to reduce taxes or the tax support for healthcare. But don't trust any of them. Bernie Sanders, clearly one of the most liberal members of the United States Senate, I think he describes himself as a Democrat socialist, on the floor of the Senate this week said, and you can go and Google his name, Senator Bernie Sanders, he said words to the effect of, and I put it in an email I've got so you can contact my office, he asked the question, can I say that the average person in America who gets employer-based health care will see their premiums go down or not see their premiums go up? No, I can't say that. That would not be honest or accurate. The president is so desperate to get a bill through, and that's one of the problems. I'm a passionate supporter of health care reform, but I think we need to do health care reform that does two things. Reduces actual cost increases in health care so that it is more affordable, but also the way to do that is to give patients choice, not give control to the government. But there are multiple sources beyond the president, including, as I pointed out, Bernie Sanders, who acknowledge this bill will not restrain costs.
A couple of quick tactical questions as you watch your colleagues on the other side of Capitol Hill deal with this. You mentioned Tom Coburn and his motion the other day to read the entire Sanders Amendment into the record. There was another tactic to delay a vote, which everyone wants to see at some point, on a defense appropriations bill. Here's what Senator Harry Reid had to say about the Republican tactic on that.
We're voting at this rare late hour, but not even the darkness outside can conceal the game being played inside this Senate chamber.
So he's basically saying Republicans are taking out every dirty trick in the book to stop this. How do you react to that?
Well, let's talk about dirty tricks. Harry Reid is in charge of the Senate schedule. Harry Reid could decide to have the kind of open debate and open process that President Obama promised during his campaign. There is no need to pass this bill on a rushed-up schedule. You pointed out at the beginning of this interview that we don't know what's in the bill, but Harry Reid is nonetheless demanding that we pass it before Christmas. The opportunity to reform health care does not go away with the celebration of Christ's birth on the 25th of this month. So that is at least one aspect of his hypocrisy. He can decide the schedule, and the Republicans are simply saying, let's slow this massive decision, probably the most important decision for the future of our nation in my lifetime in terms of legislation passing the Congress. Let's slow it down and consider it thoughtfully. But if you want to talk about dirty tactics, let's talk about Senator Ben Nelson. Let's talk about Senator Mary Landrieu. Everyone, I think, in America closely following this debate knows that Senator Mary Landrieu was given $300 million for her vote to get her to vote to start debate. It's now been nicknamed, I think, by Tom Coburn and or others, the Louisiana Purchase, where she sold her vote. Interestingly, now that they want to close debate, it is widely reported by Michelle Malkin and many, many, many others that with regard to Nelson, they're doing two things. They've offered him $500 million in the bill to go to Nebraska if he will simply cave in and agree to vote to pass the bill or in debate. And, interestingly, they have threatened the White House and the proponents of this massive health care bill have threatened Senator Ben Nelson by essentially telling him that if he does not go along, then there's a good chance, wink, wink, nod, nod, that off an Air Force base in his home state, critical to people who live in his home state, will be put on the BRAC closure list, which will come out a year from now, and be closed. That's an outrage. The BRAC process for reviewing what bases need to stay open and what don't is supposed to avoid political pressure. To his credit, Senator John Anson stepped in and sent a letter signed by 19 other Republicans saying, that's an outrage. The decision on what bases should be closed and what bases should be open should never be subject to political pressure. And he himself, Senator Anson, said, look, is my voting record going to be examined in determining whether Air Force bases in my home state of Nevada get closed? So if one side is playing dirty, which was the question you asked, and Senator Reid thinks it's the Republicans, he's just closing his eyes to the dirty tactics, I would argue, the Chicago politics-style tactics being used by the White House and the Democrat proponents of this bill.
Congressman, fascinating on so many different levels. Thank you so much for your time, as always, and Merry Christmas to you, sir.
If I can add one point.
Sure.
I would urge your listeners today, if they possibly can, to reach out to contact Senator Ben Nelson and thank him for standing strong. They can call him, they can email him. If they live in Nebraska and his phones are tied up, I would urge them to go to his local office and just say, thank you, Senator Nelson. At the moment, you're the only one standing between us and a massive government takeover of health care.
Very good, sir. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
Arizona Congressman John Shattuck represents his state's 3rd Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.